This is Radio Influence.
Why, Crusher, it's good to see you.
With the Crusher, Jeff Crochelle. Get in on the talent grid and text Crush at 101260 with your questions, comments, or smart-ass remarks.
And welcome to Crush Performance, everybody. I am Jeff Crochelle. Connor Halley, the con man, our producer, is here, and we are your weekly source for performance information. Hey, if you have any questions, comments, or smart remarks, get to us. CrushPerformance.com is the website. Info at CrushPerformance is the email. Now listen, I have to apologize. We just discovered that there was a massive breakdown, gap in some sort of email pop server domain technology. I'm not even sure what was going on, but we were missing a lot of emails that were supposedly coming our way, but never made it. So if you have sent an email in the last little while, question, a comment, or our beloved smart remarks, please resend. We answer absolutely every email and message that we get, if we get them. Technology is so fantastic when it works, but boy oh boy, we rely on it so much. When it doesn't, it can become crippling. So here we are. The problem has been fixed, we think. So if you've tried to reach out to us, if you've sent us an email, please resend it. We will get back to you as soon as humanly possible. And of course, if you have a topic you'd like us to investigate, let us know. We may dedicate a segment or an entire show to your topic, and that's what it's all about. That's part of the fun. I was asked earlier this week, you know, what the show's all about. Talked to just some new sponsors and some people that want to get involved in the show, new partners. And, you know, I had to stop and think, you know, what is the show all about? Well, we're about human performance. Sport is sort of our focus, but it goes well beyond sport. We know that. But I guess the idea of the show is just to really get people thinking about things that they should be thinking about if they're trying to improve themselves, their children, their students, their athletes, the people around them, just being good at something, whatever it is you might be pursuing. That's kind of what the show is all about. And we've been at it for 12 plus years now, and there's no end in sight because the topic pool never runs dry. It never runs dry. There's always new research coming out. There's always new thoughts being boarded when it comes to human performance. And as we expand our knowledge base and the things that we do understand, it opens up doors and windows to more things that we need to know and understand. It's a never-ending cycle, and I guess that's kind of the joy of the show. And today's no exception. I was originally going to air a show today previewing the NBA season as it's just getting underway, and there's a lot of great high-performance storylines to watch there in terms of players to watch, teams to watch, as well as things happening inside the NBA as a whole, globally, as they look to expand. And they really do have the potential to dominate the sporting world. Can they take on soccer? Well, I'm not sure about that, but they're certainly going to take over the NFL and American football in terms of, you know, popularity and I guess maybe global participation, because it is a global sport. I guess maybe the next big rival would be baseball. Hockey's way down on the list because it's just hard to access. But the NBA is set to do something really, really special. And the NBA as a whole is being run very, very smart. In our upcoming weeks, we will talk to some of the performance guys, our good friends over at the Golden State Warriors, to talk about preparation and high-performance training for basketball players. If you have a young basketball player, if you're a coach, or if you're a fan of the game, we are going to look inside the Golden State Warrior program to find out how they're training their athletes and to see what we can learn from the guys who are doing it. I was hoping to air that show today, but some other things came up, and it sort of stems from the world of baseball. The World Series, the baseball playoffs, and the World Series have been fantastic. I mean, another home run, grand slam for Major League Baseball. That's like 4 or 5 years in a row where the playoffs have just been captivating, whether your team's in it or not. But baseball's having some issues. I mean, if you look at the final standings of the season, if you look where the teams finished, what a discrepancy. The San Francisco Giants, 40 games back, they had the worst record in Major League Baseball with a payroll of $200 million, over $200 million. And it just got me thinking, what's going on in terms of development? What's going on inside of organizations? We look at the NHL that's underway now, the NFL, which is well into their season, the NBA kicking off, and I just started thinking about what's going on in sport. And then I started reflecting on the numbers and the stats coming out of the developmental levels, the dropout rates at age 13 and 14, somewhere around the 70% mark. Kids are dropping out of organized sport at epidemic levels, levels we've never seen before. I want to know why. And then we see in Major League Baseball this last week, Joe Girardi being let go. You saw John Farrell being let go from Boston earlier, which you might understand, but Girardi, I think, took us all by surprise. And I'm starting to wonder, okay, so what are organizations looking for? Really, what do they want inside? What is the end game? Leadership, we know, is critical. And if you look at the Yankees, just as an example, okay, and I love to hate the Yankees, you know, working with Toronto for all those years. I have incredible respect for the Pinstripes and that organization. Don't get me wrong. And I really do like where they're at right now. They have such an unbelievable core of great young talent. Aaron Judge, Gary Sanchez, Greg Bird, Gregorius, and Severino. They are so set up, they haven't had this kind of talent since the Big Four that have been there forever. And Jeter, I think, was the last surviving member of that core group. But boy, oh boy, they are really set. For them to let Girardi go after what this team has done in the last 2 years is really, really puzzling. Now, we all know, we just get the media version of what's going on. So there's something going on deeper, but I want to kind of know what it is. I'm going to be watching with great interest. It all comes down to performance at every single level. You know, as a young developing athlete, you have to be kind of selfish in what you do. You have to be selfish. Listen to me. But you also have to be a team player, regardless of what sport you're in. I don't even care if it's an individual sport. You have a team around you. You have to be a team player. You got to play for yourself, but you got to help your team succeed, regardless of what it is. And I don't care if you're a golfer or a tennis player. You have a support team around you. You're playing for those people who've been working and putting in their blood, sweat, and tears to help you succeed. But when you're an athlete inside of a team setting, it's amplified even more. But don't ever underestimate the power of great leadership. And for the Yankees to make this massive change right now, it really got me thinking of what are we trying to do in sport? I'm kind of hoping it's not a money issue with Girardi. I mean, look at the payroll and the money that the Yankees have put into that organization over the years. Paying a great leader is worth every single cent. So we'll watch that with interest, of course. We don't really know the full story. I'm sure it will come out. You know, we'll learn more and more as the days go on. But it really got me thinking, boy, boy, what is going on? I mean, the Washington Nationals right now are just, they are just sitting there ready to pick and choose the next successor for their managerial position. They have Gabe Kapler they're talking to, John Farrell, who left Boston, Girardi, who just was just let go, Dave Martinez is in the mix. Dave Martinez, of course, the bench boss for Joe Maddon through the Rays years, now into the Cubs. Dave Martinez would be a great manager. Dave was a player with the Blue Jays when I was there. This is a great human being, but a really, really solid baseball man. We'll watch that with interest. And, you know, I'm just waiting for Dave to surface as a manager and really take over to see what he can do. It'll be fun. And then there's been some talk about the current GM, Mike Rizzo, stepping into the dugout and taking over as the bench boss down there. And it's happened before. Could it happen again? Is that the right fit right now? I personally don't think so, but that's one to watch. I mean, why not, I guess? If you really think about it, why not? I think because there's so much talent out there. You know, one thing about baseball, I mean, sports in general, is you know, these talented people, they get recycled. And if you look at organizations that are consistently good, there is consistent leadership. You know, you can see the players change in the era of free agency. That's going to happen. But solid leadership from the top down, ownership, president, GM, down to the coaching staff. If you can keep those key elements intact, as long as they're functioning well and they're the right people, you get something like the Dodgers. You have to go back to 2012 to see the Dodgers out of first place in their division at the end of the season. And though they haven't had a lot of success in the playoffs, they're in the playoffs. There's teams 40 games back, 25 games back, 35 games back. And the Dodgers have continually managed to come in first place in a pretty tough division. So, again, it got me thinking, everybody, what is going on? You know, in our recent hockey show as the NHL kicked off, you know, one of my top teams to watch is the Edmonton Oilers. They got Connor McDavid up there. They had new ownership. They got a brand new building. There isn't a massive investment right there. They've got great leadership. They brought in Bob Nicholson from Hockey Canada, and that's when the change really started to happen. We saw a change in the GM, a change in the head coach. They potentially have the best coach in hockey. They have the best player, or one of the top players in Connor McDavid. They also have maybe potentially the best lineup, the best line combination in all of hockey, and they're still struggling in the first month of the season. So we'll, again, just watch the Oilers with interest to see how it goes. But it gets me thinking. All this gets me thinking about, what is development all about? What are organizations who succeed, what are they doing right? And what are they missing? And for the organizations that just can't seem to get it together, what are they missing? I'm just telling you, development is not a mystery. It's not this mystery thing. It's hard to put together, but it's not a mystery. So today, here's what I wanted to do. I wanted to delve into what I think are some of the fundamental aspects of putting together a championship organization and team. And it all starts with putting together championship individuals. Whether they come into your organization from the outside, or whether you develop them from the inside, or if you're an individual athlete, let's talk about tennis or golf or even swimming, where it's very individual. Getting the right people around you to help you develop the talent and skills you need to have long-term success, that's the key to everything. But I think we're really missing the boat. I think everybody focuses too much on the end result. How good are you now? You have to be able to look down the road to see what the end game is, and then you got to figure out how to get there. And I think that's where a lot of organizations right now in every single sport are really missing the boat. And they're missing the boat. And it's gotten me to the point where I'm about to explode. Now listen, I don't know what's going on in every single organization. I've got a feel for the pulse of high-performance sports because I know people in and around every single major sport and in most of the organizations. And there's great things going on. But boy, I'm really at a loss. When I look at the standings and the issues that some of the great organizations are having, I'm really at a loss to explain why they're not having more success. So today, we're going to talk with our good friend, Dr. Mart Mrazek, who's associate professor at the Department of Educational Psychology at the University of Alberta. He also has a special interest in clinical neuropsychology. When it comes to developing success, whether you're an individual athlete or a team of athletes, you need to make sure the foundation is solid. And there are some very fundamental principles that need to be addressed if you're going to have maximum skill development and maximum acquisition of talent over time. And if they're not addressed, it's very, very difficult to reach your potential. As a matter of fact, what I would probably comfortably say right now is if you're not addressing these things, your ceiling of potential is lower than it could be. In our organizations, in the Crush Performance organizations, we're always striving to look for ways to push and raise the ceiling of potential for every single organization and team that we're involved with. And it's fun, don't get me wrong. It is a ton of fun when you're doing it, and it's never easy. But when you can start problem solving like a pro, and when you have the resources and desire from the athletes and the staff and ownership and management to get it done, oh, magic can happen. Magic can happen. Unfortunately, it's not happening often enough, in my opinion, and it's driving me nuts. So I wanted to touch base again with Crush favorite Dr. Mart Mrazek to discuss some of those fundamental principles of human development. And hopefully it will illuminate some thoughts for you guys and get you thinking about things that maybe you didn't think about before. But I believe these are things that every single organization on the planet, if they're looking to succeed and get better, need to start addressing, because I don't think it's happening often enough. And while we've got our hands on Dr. Mrazek, I wanted to talk to him about this new study that came out of the University of Waterloo up in Canada, looking at the recovery of young brains from concussion. 17 Bantam hockey players aged 11 to 14 were given MRIs within 24 to 72 hours of their initial concussions, and they were also then rescanned 3 months later to see where the brain was. They'd been clinically cleared to return to play, but the researchers found that the brain wasn't quite where it should be. Is this something we need to be concerned about? Does this research give us reason enough to challenge the existing protocols when it comes to assessing concussions and then also the return to play strategies we're using to get players back into sport? Well, we have to be very careful when new research like this comes out. We have to dissect it properly and understand what it's saying. This is a very small sample size, but the thing I really like about this study is it fits into this show very, very well. It is getting us to think about things maybe we didn't think about before. And that's how we push everything forward. So we're going to kick off our conversation with Dr. Mrazek looking at this new study, and then we're going to get into some fundamental principles of creating massive talent development. Right after this on Crush Performance, stick around, everybody.
I'm Jerry Petuck, CEO of Radio Influence. There are a lot of people behind the scenes here at Radio Influence that work hard to keep you entertained day in and day out. If you'd like to get involved and advertise on any of our programming, or if you have some show ideas you'd like to see us add to the Radio Influence family, please email us at contact@radioinfluence.com. We all have crazy schedules, so the fact that you take time out of your busy day to let us entertain you for a while means more than you could ever know. Without you, the listener, we wouldn't exist, so thank you again for downloading and subscribing to all of our programming. You can find all of Radio Influence's programming on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.
You're listening to Crush Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. Get the Crush blogs, podcasts, and performance links at CrushPerformance.com. Now, back to the show.
And welcome back to Crush Performance. Jeff Crochelle here. The con man is keeping us on track. Hey, we're your weekly source for performance information. Today, a real important show, I think. We're going to delve into what I believe are some of the fundamental strategies for developing talent and raising the ceiling of potential. Because I think a lot of organizations, a lot of athletes are really missing this part of the equation. And this is where you need to start. Because without it, I think it's really, really hard and maybe even impossible to reach your potential, no matter what you're doing. This goes well beyond sport. This is fundamental, even just for daily living. So let's get into it. We are joined now by our good friend, Dr. Martin Mrazek, associate professor at the Department of Educational Psychology at the U of A. He also has a special interest in clinical neuropsychology. Dr. Mrazek, thanks for coming on the show once again. So great to have you back.
Yeah, great to be here.
Well, you know, it's such a great time in sports and in general. Everybody's sort of back to a schedule as the fall routines fall into place and everybody gets sort of back on schedule. But it's also a time to really reflect and shoot forward as the new year approaches. A lot of great things happening in sport as well with the MLB playoffs. We have hockey, we've got football, we've got NBA kicking off. There's just a lot of great things going on. And of course, in the research world as well. To kick this off, I wanted to sort of talk to you about the developmental side because I'm seeing some massive gaps in terms of how organizations are going about development in sport anyway. I think it transfers over to business as well. But I have to talk to you about this new study that's come out because we all are familiar with your background and of course, the neuropsychology and your emphasis on brain injuries and recovery from concussions and brain injuries. A study came out of Western in the last week or so talking about the long-term effects of concussions on young athletes. And they looked at 17 Bantam hockey players aged 11 to 14. They did MRIs on these young athletes within 24 to 72 hours of the initial concussion. And then they redid those MRIs 3 months later. And what they are saying they found was, okay, even though clinically they've been approved to return to play, the imaging, they still found the brain wasn't quite where it should be. And I thought this raises the question again of, where are we at in terms of understanding concussions and returning athletes to play?
Yeah, and I mean, it's great to see all the research that's going into here, and I think it's exciting because of that. I guess you want to take a step back and say, well, where does this fit into the big picture, and what does this actually mean? And again, I am going to qualify myself that I'm not an expert in radiology. I'm just very familiar with the concussion world here, and I think the response from the science community is, well, this is interesting, but those tools are not used diagnostically because there's not enough reliability. So we know from player to player there is, you know, variability, whether you have a concussion or depression or sleep disorders, imaging findings will show up with things. And so, the next question is, okay, well, this is interesting, but what does it actually mean? And how do we correlate this with how a player is doing and how they're recovering and those type of things? So while it is interesting and the search for biomarkers and finding out what is going to be a good way to look at outcomes, I think we do have to be a little cautious in saying, well, we've got another blinking light that's telling us something, not to infer too much from that. So again, I applaud the research. We just want to make sure that it's good research and that there's evidence from a lot of different areas, not just that we're making kind of snap judgments based on specific findings.
Yeah, no, sound advice there, Dr. Mrazek. And I think it's really great to see studies like this and experts like this kind of pushing and looking for solutions, because I think you agree when we say that we still have a lot to learn when it comes to head injuries and concussions, because it's such a subjective injury. And, you and I have talked about it before, and we sort of use instead of using the word injury, we sort of use the term process, because it's a process. We know it happens, but then it's a process, and it's very different for everybody. So this study is not a cause for alarm, but I think it's maybe just pushing us forward and getting us thinking about maybe something that we haven't thought about before.
Yeah, exactly, right? And that's what you want the science to do is to address some of the questions and maybe raise a few more, but not to use a specific finding. Again, this is a smaller sample of individuals, and we don't have a good perspective on their entire health histories and so on. So that's where we do want to be cautiousness and not use it as an alarm bell. And I think, unfortunately, that sometimes that's the perception, is that, oh, we get this finding here, that definitely means that there's a problem. And, when we look at the larger scale studies, we're not just looking at things in isolation. We're looking at the overall picture. So we're including, measures of mental health. We're looking at performance. We're looking at development. We're looking at physical health. Lots of different things that can give us an overall, overall measure of a trend, as opposed to one specific blinking light that may suggest something, but it may not.
Yeah, we're talking with Dr. Martin Mrazek, Associate Professor in the Department of Educational Psychology at the University of Alberta. Dr. Mrazek, I'm still on a big push to look for prevention strategies. And I just really think that some of the simple things that can be done in terms of just, daily nutrition, hydration, of course, but some of the simple upper body strengthening work, and even more so, you and I have talked about this before as well, some of the eye training exercises that can help young athletes be a little more aware of their peripheral vision. These little things could potentially add up in just my mind to be very, very important strategies for preventing these types of injuries. I'd really like to see more work done in that area.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think that's one of the good things that's going on is that for a while there, a lot of the research was on the outcomes and the bad outcomes and what's happening. But recently, it's been much more of a focus on prevention and what's going on in the athlete before these things happen. So that's why, like you're saying, the preventative things, the strategies that we're looking at, mental health, training, being ready. And one thing that we have to keep in context, and I know you've talked about this a lot, is young athletes today face more stress than they ever have before, because there is so much by way of what's out there in the public knowledge, making teams, the rigor of even young athletes playing hockey and having hockey 5-6 days a week. All those things can add up to a lot of stress. And, we have to address that. These are young athletes. They haven't quite figured out all their coping mechanisms, and some handle it better than others. So really addressing those type of the mental health and physical training can be really, really helpful and important especially for the young athlete.
Well, and that brings me to a very important part of this discussion. And this is was sort of the main initiative for me touching base with you again. We're into the postseason in Major League Baseball, and I look back at the standings. And at the start of the year, we always look at which teams to watch, which players to watch. In the midseason of every single major sport, I sort of look at the standings and see, okay, hey, how are things shaping up for these teams that we were, you know, sort of focusing on? And so this year at the All-Star break for Major League Baseball was real interesting. The standings were fairly close. There were almost 15 teams sort of in the running. But as we got to the end of the season, it was a runaway train. We've never seen, I think, this lopsided of, final standings in terms of Major League Baseball. And I've been talking to some organizations and teams in multiple sports here over this last few months here this fall. And Dr. Mrazek, I'm really finding a gap between what we know should be done and what is being done in pro sport. Everybody seems to be focusing on, you know, the tangible stuff. How do you get stronger? How do you get faster? How do you stick handle better? How do you swing the bat harder? But those are sort of end result type things. If you don't have a solid base, you can't possibly maximize potential. And I think, Dr. Mrazek, people are overlooking what you just talked about. How do we get a real sound human being, an athlete, settled in so they can attack and approach development in the proper way? I know that's sort of a run-on sort of a statement, but I'm just trying to get my head around this big thing. I think we're missing the boat in a big way.
Yeah, I agree, because there's an evolving body of literature that is really looking at how psychological health can impact physical functioning and injury. And there's a growing body of literature that's really continuing to support that. It's not a direct link. And just because you do, eye movement exercises doesn't mean you're going to be automatically successful. But it's part of that overall comprehensive approach. And really, for some athletes, the psychological component is really big. How many young athletes have just been really anxious, or how many of them have just cratered because they feel they're not, coping like they should, or they're not performing like they should? For some of them, this is a reality. And yet, the emphasis is often on training and physical growth and doing, hitting the weight room and those type of things. But what are they spending an appropriate amount of time or a balanced amount of time working on the mental health side of things? And again, our injury data is pretty compelling when we see that when we address those mental health issues, we reduce injuries. And when you're not injured as much, then your performance is usually going to be better because you're playing and you're healthy and you're feeling good, and all those important tangibles that really can lead to success.
Right. Well, a few years ago, we had the luxury of having you and Dr. Urban Johnson in studio talking about his great study in Sweden looking at professional soccer players and the impact that, dealing with hassles and really establishing coping mechanisms and the impact that it had on injury prevention, but also increasing in performance. That was a fascinating conversation for me. And I think, I'm kind of want to go back there here because I don't think we're doing it well enough. I don't think we're doing it well enough at the developmental levels. We're so focused on the skill acquisition side that we don't really set the tone for really acquiring skills. And then the injury prevention thing is absolutely massive. So it's almost crazy to me that we're ignoring this incredible part of athlete development, and I'm talking at every single level, right up to the professionals.
Yeah, no, I really concur with that, because we've seen both the positive effects of good programs that are really holistic, and then the negative outcomes when you focus on one area too much, and again just that psychological piece. I think we're building and we're understanding it, but things change. And right now, I mean, when we look at even the time demands on young athletes and how much is expected of them, especially in hockey here in Canada at young ages, I mean, that's great. But, with increased psychological demands, keeping them busy, 5-6 days a week with training at the upper tier levels, okay, that's great. But, how does that balance with just being a kid? How does that balance with just kind of doing non-structured activities where you can actually improve just by learning how to relax? And, are we measuring that? Do we have a good a sense of our athletes, the ones that are getting stressed, that are really starting to, really struggle because of the mental health component of it, or just the inner battles that they're having? So that's why having a system in place and really, really paying attention to those things can really, really drive a successful program. And I think you've probably seen it, with your work there is programs that really have that holistic approach. I think, it definitely helps in terms of on the field success, but I think it just develops a healthier work environment where people like to come and like to do well, and that usually fosters just more positive outcomes.
Yeah, great stuff. We're talking with Dr. Mrazek, associate professor at the University of Alberta. You're so right. One of the things that I've seen in my time, and I've just had the great luxury of working at the highest level of sport, And, you know, there is a big difference between the top performers at the elite levels and then the average performers and then the below average performers, because there's those categories at every single level. But one thing that I've really just noticed, you know, just standing by and watching, is that the top performers really do operate differently. And sometimes it's intentional, and sometimes it's just the way they operate. Dr. Mrazek, let me throw you these two sort of scenarios at you. You know, just watching some of the elite world-class, above-average performers at the highest level of sport, I've noticed two things. And this is a general observation. This is not science by any means. This is just what I've seen. I've seen sort of two things happen. I've seen that there's one group who is above-average performers who are really deliberate in how they organize their time and limit distractions and take care of business around them inside and outside of their sport. And then on the other side, I see these, you know, just real simple guys and girls who don't let that stuff. It's just not in their DNA or their makeup to let this stuff happen. They have a very simple approach to life. You know, I work with elite athletes who are illiterate, and they just keep it simple, and they're beautiful people, and they're some of my best friends. But those two people are consistently leading the way at the top, a very deliberate approach to organizing the daily routine and everything that goes on, and then just a real simple approach to doing what they love to do. Isn't that interesting?
It is. And I mean, that you're speaking to really understanding the mental makeup of your athlete, because there's such diversity, as you pointed out. And I know in the sports performance realm, when we look at, you know, the elite athletes, they actually learn how to tune out most of their thoughts during performance. So before a game or during a critical point, you know, Tiger Woods, when he was so successful, when, and you know, when there was some, you know, inquiry about how he was doing it, he really had this masterful ability to tune out so much of the inner dialogue, so there wasn't these competing thoughts. And some people are great at that, as you pointed out, and don't need a lot of help with that, because they know how to do that, or it's they don't worry about that. But there's other athletes that don't. And both of them can be successful, but really understanding the mental makeup and, you know, really recognizing that they're at the young age, you're starting to see these unique personality traits. And some kids are just, they're obsessive in terms of they just like to do things over and over. And others just need to, like, be pulled back and say, do less for now. Just don't burn yourself out, because if you do too much of that, then you will stress yourself out. So, yeah, just really understanding the mindset of the athlete. And, you know, the question I would have, you know, Jeff, is, you know, how do we approach that? Are we, you know, doing questionnaires? How are you asking our young athletes, like, how are you doing? How are you feeling? There's different approaches to doing that, but I think that's just really what you're saying. It underscores the importance of really understanding the mindset of the individual athlete.
Yeah, I agree. It's sort of that really long-term progressive development thing. If we could teach our young athletes even just simple strategies on that level, it could really impact how they develop throughout their lives. We're talking with Dr. Mrazek, Crush favorite, associate professor in the Department of Educational Psychology at the U of A. Dr. Mrazek, there has been a really interesting sort of, I don't want to say it's a catch word, but there's an interesting concept going around the sporting world as of late. And it's this whole idea of character. And what is character? We're looking for character athletes. Every pro sport and every scout now, you'll hear character come up in the conversation when they're looking at talent evaluation and talent development. But I think we need to be careful with the word character, because I don't think there's a single definition about it. And really, what is character, and how does that really play a role in the overall developmental process? Just an interesting thing that's been happening, I think, as of late in the sporting world.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, that's a whole kind of, you know, separate concept that we're talking about here. But I think the implications here is that when we talk about character athletes, they're the ones that are very attuned to how they're functioning and how their functioning can impact the team. And you know, being aware and being willing to address that and understand that, you know, your actions are not just in isolation, but in some cases can have a positive or sometimes very negative impact on the team. And I think players that, you know, really pursue that self-awareness and that really want to get better, part of what they're doing is they're really reflecting on what's helped and what is not helping. And you know, I mean, part of good character is knowing your strengths and also knowing your weaknesses. And so those are skills. It's not some people do this automatically, but a lot of people don't. You have to be, you know, asked the question and have an environment where you can reflect on your own thinking. So, you know, part of character and maybe what we're talking about here is really, you know, traits associated with the ability to self-reflect and make judgments based on that self-reflection.
Oh, so important. I think what you said there, really having an environment where you can reflect back and feel safe doing that. And I think that's something that's really, really missing in today's landscape.
Yeah.
So interesting stuff. You know, we talk about the coping mechanisms and, you know, dealing with all this stuff and learning how to cope. I think that's a real, real important skill. And I don't think we teach that well enough. Would you classify mindfulness as maybe a potential coping mechanism if you really get in and teach what mindfulness is all about?
Yeah, I would definitely say that. And I mean, we can certainly point to a lot of studies and research where, you know, in school settings and athletic settings, just in terms of health outcomes, people who practice mindfulness definitely function better, they feel better, and in a lot of cases they can have a positive effect on their overall health. And so again, the mindfulness, some people have these natural kind of abilities to do that, and they know going to yoga or things like that can help them, but it is a skill. It's something that you have to work on, just like other physical abilities. And so really implementing a strategy of mindfulness, for especially for some athletes, and the athletes that are really high on the anxiety side, that's when you can really see the bang for your buck, so to speak, because they really have to say, okay, you know, my body is really tense and really anxious right now. I need this. It's not like, oh, it's a good idea. I need to do this. Because when I've worked with athletes that have this high level of anxiety, they'll tell you after about 20, 30 minutes, they feel better. They feel more relaxed. They feel more focused. And so that's some of the power that mindfulness is. But again, it's harder to implement that if there's not around you or other people are really supporting that and encouraging that and guiding you in terms of the maximal ways to engage in mindfulness activities.
Hey, Dr. Mrazek, for our parents and even our athletes and coaches who are listening today, who may be very aware of athletes or their children or students who do have that anxiety or that edginess to them. Mindfulness, you could maybe say awareness, but what would we say? What would we say in terms of explaining mindfulness to those who might not be familiar with that process?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. I mean, there's other people that probably can answer that, just as well or even better. But really, it's essentially focusing on the thoughts that are going through your mind, examining those thoughts, and then implementing strategies to enhance the positive thoughts that are going on and to challenge the negative thoughts that are more associated with anxiety and tension and those type of things. So it's just really engaging in practice where you're going to tune out kind of what, if you take a few minutes just to think about, okay, what's going through my head right now? What am I feeling in my body? How, is that tightness in my neck? Where is that coming from? And then focusing on activities that combat that. So again, stretching is good for that, looking at, tightening your muscles and then relaxing them. Specific strategies that look at, okay, how do I address the thoughts and the issues that I'm feeling in my body, and how do I change my mindset to really be more focused and relaxed when I'm doing activities. So again, it's a whole field of psychology, but that's kind of a bit of a broad overview of what we're talking about.
Yeah, it's all powerful though. Things like even like deep diaphragmatic breathing, even little timeouts and 5 second resets. These types of strategies are all great stuff. Dr. Mrazek, listen, I know you're incredibly busy this time of year, but I want to thank you for your time today. This has been a fantastic conversation. I know we covered a bit more than we initially planned, but we could not cover it because it's all so important. But thanks so much for today, and hope you have a great fall, and we'll look forward to talking to you as the new year approaches.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
And there you have it, everybody. A fantastic discussion with Crush favorite Dr. Martin Mrazek. Some very important concepts there in terms of setting the groundwork, setting the framework for future success. There are things you have to address and have in order before you can really, really, truly achieve. I'm not going to lie, there are athletes that can have success, but are they truly tapping into their potential? Well, when we see a person doing it right, we're probably looking at a superstar. The $100 million, the $200, the $300 million athletes that just seem to have it all together. I'm going to dare say that when it comes to these top performers, they've really worked hard to get things under control, deliberately, intentionally try to limit the distractions and really focus on the important framework, groundwork that they need in order to succeed and then get better and then get better again. And that's a true sign of a champion. And there's a lot to be learned there for everybody. Very, very important stuff. Great conversation with Dr. Mrazek. So I have to thank him for that. And I want to thank you guys for listening today. Hey, listen, if you want to share this podcast, you can go to crushperformance.com. Get the links to Radio Influence. We are on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play, Stitcher, SoundCloud, you name it, we're on it. A great conversation for coaches, for parents, for employers, managers, mentors. There are just some fundamental things that I think we're missing. I'm not saying everybody's missing it, but I think in the big picture, we could have a lot more success in a lot more areas if we would pay attention to the starting points. Everybody's in such a rush to become a finished product that I think sometimes we're missing the importance of the fundamentals. So pass it on if you see fit. It'd be great to get a few more people maybe thinking about things that, well, maybe they'd never thought of before. And again, that's what the show's all about. And coming up in the next few weeks, we are going to look at the NBA. We're going to preview the teams, the players, and the storylines to watch. We're also going to talk to our good friends over at the Golden State Warriors about their high-performance program. And I can't wait to get inside to talk to those guys about how they're preparing that organization and that team for the incredible success they're having. We will also have a new Crush War on Sugar episode coming up. Very important statistics have come out recently. We want to get at it and also talk more about the impact sugar is having on our athletes and our ability to perform in the sporting arena. And as corruption in sports hits the headlines again, whether it's the Olympics or the scandals we're seeing inside of college sport right now, match fixing, bribery, payoffs, we'll be talking to one of the most successful mafia crime lords of all time to find out how real corruption in sport really is and how organized crime gets inside to control the game. A fascinating conversation coming up in the next few weeks as we dig deep into the world of sports and human performance. Thanks again for listening, everybody, and we'll talk to you next time on Crush Performance.
Goodbye now. Don't forget to write.
Chris Landry inviting you to join me for Landry Football Podcast every Tuesday and Thursday. We'll give you the coaching and scouting angle to the college and NFL game. Film breakdowns, scouting reports, X's and O's, the latest inside scoop, coaching search information. We've got it all for you. I'll take my experiences as a coach and a scout and bring it to you, the fan, to give you access to the best football information on the college and pro level. Join us at LandryFootball.com and remember the Landry Football Podcast right here, as well as Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com.